is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
give the Lord a hand of praise. As we stand all over this place, I'm climbing higher mountains, trying to get home. One songwriter said, I'm coming up the rough side of the mountain. And I heard somebody say that if it were smooth, you'd never get to the top, because you keep sliding down. So every now and then, we've got to thank God for those rough times, for those tough times. How many of you know you wouldn't be the person you are today if you hadn't gone through some stuff? Oh, my. Oh, my. We bless God on today. So happy to see Cordelia Miller. I saw her walk in. I said, there's the twin. Amen. And then on this side, I saw Chandra come in. And who is that with you? Deja. Okay. All right. So happy to see you. And happy to see Brother Stewart up in the choir. God bless you, Brother Stewart. And then I think we have some visitors maybe. If you're a first-time visitor, would you just wave at us? If you're a first-time visitor, God bless you. Let's thank God for our first-time visitor in the back there. God bless you, and may he keep you. That is our prayer. We're going to continue this talk about evangelism on the heels of our youth back-to-school day. That was such a blessing. D1 came in and blessed the house, and Katrina, I was on his live feed the other day, and I saw you come in and make a comment, and he responded to you. Amen. God bless you. So we thank God for what he's doing in the life of our church. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, he didn't bring us this far to leave us. Amen. Amen. And we trust him on today. The book of Acts, chapter 4, is where we will be focusing on again. Acts chapter 4. And we want you, again, to read the entirety of that fourth chapter in your private time. Amen. Father, we thank you for this preaching privilege. We pray now, God, that you will speak a word into our hearts and into our minds that will remind us that you are God. And God, that only what we do for you will last. We thank you for our church and, God, for our family. And, God, we pray that you will just keep us in constant closeness, God, with you and with one another. We thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. On last week, I said to you that what happened on our back to school day, I said that that was a blueprint for how God is leading us forward into the future. Because certainly a church that does not have young people is a dying church. I hate to say it, but it's just true. And so our focus long has been and will continue to be on enriching the lives of our youth. Now, I need to remind you that going along with that, as we enrich the lives of our children, the only way we can do that in an impactful way is we have to also enrich the lives of their parents, enrich the lives of their grandparents, because these are the people who have most contact with them. Amen. So we need to let mamas and daddies know that, yes, AAU is wonderful and sports leagues are wonderful and ballet is wonderful and all of those other activities that we find for our young people, all of those are good, but if you miss out on teaching them about Jesus, then none of that other stuff is going to matter. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. If you don't get them in a real relationship with the Savior, none of that other stuff will matter. How can I say it? I can say it because of what I said at the start of this message, only what we do for Christ will last. And so if we are going to have an eternity with God, then we've got to make sure that the most of what we do here in this life is for him and for his kingdom. Hallelujah. Bless God. So now I'm not knocking any of that other stuff. Because guess what? If they're taking ballet at the secular school, that better enables them to be on the praise dance ministry. Amen. Amen. If they are cheerleading at the high school, there was a time, and if you don't believe me, go back on this back hall, you'll see a picture when Pleasant Hill had its own youth cheerleaders. And I would love to have that again. Amen. So it's not that it has to be one or the other, but we've got to remember what has to be first. Seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we've got to keep Christ first. All right? And I told you how, because I can kind of read your minds a little. Amen. And when I was talking about the back to school event and how packed the church was, and I said, some of you were looking at me saying, Pastor, amen, don't get beside yourself. Don't get fooled, because a lot of those people were here because you were giving away free stuff, free school supplies and free food and all of that. But do y'all remember what I said last Sunday? The church has been giving away free stuff long before back to school, because guess what? Salvation is free. Thank God. Is there anybody thankful that it ain't based on your bank account? Is there anybody glad that it's not based on your degree or what school you went to? Thank God that salvation is free. But the problem comes in when we don't value salvation the way we ought to. I think that a lot of times as believers, we neglect the value of salvation. And one of the reasons we neglect the value of salvation is because us preachers don't talk about hell like we used to. Because when you juxtapose heaven against hell, oh, come on, help me somebody. Amen. When you understand that it ain't just a spiritualized phenomena, but that hell is real, and that when we die in these physical bodies, and I know you cute, but we all gonna die. I know you feel real good, but we're all gonna die. And guess what? After we die, we will spend eternity somewhere. And there ain't but two choices. I love my Catholic friends, amen, and they teach something called purgatory, but I need to tell you that ain't no purgatory. Purgatory, they teach, is a place where, amen, if you die and your life ain't quite right, you can go to purgatory and get a little more time to get it together. No, baby, amen. If you don't get it right now, that's why the old preacher used to say, while the blood is flowing warm in your veins. If you don't get it together now, amen, then you might go to that hot place. Tell your neighbor, I don't want to go to the hot place. I don't want to go to the hot place. I want to go to that place, amen, that place where Jesus is. I want to go to that place where the Bible says there's a tree there that if you get sick there, you just take a leaf from that tree and it will bring healing. Amen. Not only that, I want to go to that place. The Bible says we'll have new glorified bodies. Amen. I've been working on this one for 56 years, and I keep going in the negative direction with it. Amen. But thanks be to God, I'm putting my order in now that when I get to heaven, I's going to have a real six-pack. Get rid of this 12-pack. Get me a six-pack. Hallelujah. But the focus of what I'm trying to get us to see is that we've got to be witnesses. The church is going to grow. If we're going to get young people in here, amen, we've got to value salvation. We've got to understand how valuable it is. And I truly believe that once we understand how valuable salvation is, we'll want our families to have it. We'll want our neighbors to have it. We'll want everybody that we come in contact with to have this thing called salvation. There was a preacher up in Indiana, I believe, Jack Howell, many years ago, and he was known, his reputation was known because he preached soul winning so much. It is said that everywhere he went, that's all he talked about is soul winning. He talked about how important it is for us to win souls for Christ. And the story is told that a preacher asked him, Jack, why is soul winning so big to you? That he wouldn't hire a janitor in the church without asking the janitor, the prospective janitor, how many souls have you won for Christ? You couldn't be a Sunday school teacher in his church, amen, without him asking you, how many souls have you won for Christ? And let me poll this room this morning. How many souls have you won for Christ, my brothers and sisters? Amen. How many of you have led somebody to Jesus? You can write names down of people who were lost and on their way to hell, but because you took the time to tell them about Jesus, amen, you can say, I too am a soul winner. You know, the Bible says he that winneth souls is wise. Thank God for the wisdom that we have to win souls. But this preacher asked Jack, amen, why is soul winning so big to you? And he said, well, there is a story. He said, the story is that one day his sister was spending the night with him, and he said that in the middle of the night, he heard this piercing scream, and it was coming from the room where his sister was sleeping, and he went in, and he woke her up. He said, what's going on? And he said, you must be dreaming. You must be having a bad dream. And she said, Jack, it wasn't a dream. She said, Jack, an angel came in my room and took me to hell. She said, Jack, I went to hell. And she said that the angel allowed me to go into hell, and I could see these people in this fire, and they were behind these bars, and their bodies were consumed with fire, but they didn't burn up. He said they were behind these bars, and he said their lips were protruding, and they were burning. And he said his sister turned to the angel and said, why don't you just let them die? And the angel said, no death in hell. She said, well why don't you just let them get some water? And the angel said, no water in hell. She said, well, why don't you just let a cool breeze blow in here on them? They're in such misery. And the angel looked at her and said, no air in hell. And she said to her brother, she said, and Jack, as I turned away, as the angel was leading me out of hell, she said, as I turned away, she said, Jack, I saw our daddy. She said, our daddy is in hell. And Jack said that because of that story, because of that incident with his sister, that he would make sure that nobody else's daddy had to go to hell. That's why soul winning was so big on his agenda. And how many of you don't want to see your parents? You don't want to see your children? You don't want to go to hell. And I've said it jokingly many times, amen. I don't care how many times some of y'all get mad at me and look at me and say, Reverend Garner can go to hell. I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to a place where there is no air. I'm not going to a place where there is no water. I'm not going to a place where you burn eternally and never die. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want you to go to hell. And Pleasant Hill, I want us to value salvation so much that as we drive up and down the streets of Leesville or wherever we are, I want us to look at people that we see every day and say in our hearts and say in our minds, I don't want that brother to go to hell. I don't want that sister to go to hell. And then the question comes, well, what are you going to do about it? Can I tell you what you can do about it? You can tell them about a man named Jesus. I said last Sunday, we tell them about everything else. We tell them about what we heard at the hair salon. We tell them about what we heard at the nail salon. We tell them about what we heard at the barber shop. How many times do we tell them about what we heard at church on Sunday? Yeah. Amen. Now understand that the goal of what we are to do as it relates to evangelism. See, sometimes we don't do it because we're so focused on conversion. We feel that it's our responsibility to get folk converted. No, I told you last Sunday what the Bible says, one plants, another waters, but God will do the converting. Is there anybody in here this morning who can say amen? It was God himself that touched me and told me I needed to turn my life around, and I have joy in my heart and in my soul today because I gave my life to Jesus. I dare you to get on your job or get it wherever it is that you go and tell folk about what you heard at church. Tell them, amen. I heard Reverend Garner say that Jesus is a healer. I heard a deacon say that he's a deliverer. I heard my Sunday school teacher say that he'll pick you up and turn you around and place your feet on solid ground. I heard somebody say that he's a way maker. Tell them what you heard the choir sing. Tell them, amen, about the goodness of the Lord. Do y'all know we could turn Leesville upside down if we just start telling folk. I said I wasn't going to tell anybody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. I've got to tell somebody. Where are my folk who will join me in that effort of telling folk about Jesus the Christ? Tell them that he died on an old rugged cross. For our sins, for our shortcomings. He gave his life. Amen. He became what we are so that we could become what he is. Yes, we ought to tell somebody today. Yes. Now, this morning, I want to focus on the fact that telling them, yes, that's first and foremost. But in order for you to walk in the boldness necessary to tell folk, you've got to have something. We talked about it in Bible study Wednesday night. We talked about having the person and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I know there are folk out there who saying that we don't need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was for back then and we don't need it now. Let me wake somebody up to what's real. You need the Holy Ghost. Because can I tell you something? There will be times when people will not be there for you. But is there anybody happy to know that the Holy Ghost won't leave you? Amen. Jesus said he'll never forsake you. Come on, how many of you have had people to walk out on you, people you thought you could trust, people you thought you could count on, but amen, they turn their backs on you, but you're still standing because you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Somebody ought to give the Holy Spirit a praise right there. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. If you're going to be the kind of witness that you need to be, Acts, amen, tells us that we need the Holy Spirit. After that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, you shall be witnesses. But there's something else you need, my brothers and sisters. If you're going to be effective witness, you need to be in the Word. I said you need to be in the Word. Some of our Bibles are so happy when it's Sunday, amen, because they ain't fellowship with us all week, but on Sunday, amen, we get to, and we don't even use Bibles that much anymore. We got it on our secular phones now, amen. But even that Bible app, amen, YouVerse or whatever Bible app you're using is happy that it's Sunday because finally it gets opened up. You've opened up Facebook, I know I have. You've opened up Instagram, but how many of you have opened up your Bible app this week? If you're going to be an effective witness, you need to be in the Word. And let me tell you something else. Not only do you need to be in the Word, you need to let the Word get in you. Yes. Hallelujah. But then finally, if we're going to be effective witnesses, we've got to pray. Tell your neighbor, we've got to pray. Yes. Oh, we've got to pray. We've got to pray. We've got to pray because through prayer, we identify with Christ's love for his people. It is through prayer that we destroy strongholds of the enemy. It is through prayer that we set the captives free. It is through prayer that we receive the power to boldly share the gospel. Amen. When you look at in this fourth chapter of Acts around the 25th verse, you'll see a reference to Psalm 2. And it illustrates the saints praying with authority. Claiming the promises of God in prayer adds conviction and authority to our request. The saints prayed with intensity as they asked for boldness. They understood the battle for souls is not for timid or lukewarm Christians. Engaging in the fight for the eternal destiny of souls requires an intense effort. It's no secret, my brothers and sisters, that prayer is a critical part of our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to grow deeper in our relationship with Christ and experience the power of the Holy Spirit more than ever before, then we need to learn how to pray with the authority we see portrayed in the scriptures. We need to learn how to pray with the authority that we see displayed in the Bible. I've been saved for decades, but it wasn't until I learned how to really pray with authority that things begin to change and shift in my life. Am I the only one in here who can testify that prayer changes things? Do I have a witness today? And now let me slow down, amen, because I want to give you this illustration. I want to make sure that you get this. Just suppose that you received a brand new BMW for your birthday. You were given the key.